Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
All right, welcome back here on Sports Talk. Christian Garrick, and we welcome in now Chris Trapasso, NFL draft analyst for CBS Sports. And Chris, something that I've been thinking about quite a bit this offseason, and when's it going to click for Marcus Davenport? Is it going to be year three? You look at his first 2 years. When he's been on the field, he's been pretty productive, sneaky productive, in fact. He's just been beset by injuries. Is this the year you think that he makes that leap?
Yeah, I think he's going to have a big season. Just from watching the film, looking at the advanced stats, I think he's going to have a big third year. His rookie season wasn't terrible, but it wasn't so good that he was going to avoid any talk of him potentially being a bust. And I thought last year, obviously as kind of the sidekick or the number two to Cameron Jordan, when he was on the field in those first 13 games, he was productive. 50 pressures at around 500 pass rushing snaps. That's a pretty good percentage in terms of getting home or at least causing the quarterback to you know, come off the top of his drop and kind of go off structure. So I think at his size, with his athleticism and the fact that he was coming from a small school, UTSA, to the NFL, it's not surprising that it has taken him 2 years to really start producing. So I think by the third year, he's acclimated to the speed and the power and the athleticism of NFL blockers and is ready to really take off. And it helps that he's next to Cam Jordan. He doesn't have to be that number one pass rusher for the Saints.
Ironically, Cam Jordan kind of took off as a pass rusher in his third season as well.
Yep. Yeah, and I think for as much as we're in a instant gratification society and we want these NFL players to come in as rookies and be the defensive rookie of the year, and by year two, it's almost like, hey, if you're not at double-digit sacks, you're a bust. I think the sack numbers are a little deceiving for him. He only had 6 sacks last season. And in an article I wrote for CBSSports.com, I think he's going to have a T.J. Watt-type third season. That T.J. Watt was a first-round pick the year before Marcus Davenport in 2017 by the Steelers. Pretty good rookie year, not great. Second year, had a ton of sacks, but actually pressure-wise, he was only producing a pressure around 5 or 6% of his pass rushing snaps, and Davenport was around 10 to 11%. So the sack numbers weren't there, but I think if you see consistent pressure creation from an edge rusher, the sacks will eventually come. Even early in Khalil Mack's career, he didn't have a ton of sacks, but was creating pressure, and then we saw him really take off. So I think for some of these players, and again, in Davenport's case, coming from the small school level, you had to have some more patience with him, and I think it's really going to pay off in year three.
Chris, could you make the case that in terms of raw ability and the way his body's built, his structure, that he could end up perhaps even turn into a better pass rusher than Cam Jordan? And I know that says a lot, but just by his – he's raw still, and once he figures that out, he could end up being a bigger force than Cam.
Yeah, I think like he could be in – 3 or 4 seasons seen in the same vein as Cam Jordan today, that Cam Jordan not only is one of the best pass rushers in the league and consistent on a year-to-year basis, he's a great run defender as well. And Marcus Davenport came into the league at just under 6'6" and 265 pounds. And if you look at his combine, look at what he did at the combine at that size, compare it to what Jadeveon Clowney did a few years before that, and everyone thought that Clowney blew the doors off Indianapolis. Obviously, coming from the SEC, he was a big recruit. They're on polar ends of the spectrum in terms of just how everyone or how much everyone knew about both of those players. But Marcus Davenport is big. He's strong, very athletic, explosive for his size. And I thought, as a prospect, because I do a lot of NFL draft work for CBSSports.com, it's kind of my main area, he was pretty advanced as a pass rusher. It's just that it, again, took him time that he wasn't playing against Conference USA tackles anymore once he got to the NFL. He knows how to use his hands, and I think learning from Cam Jordan has probably been hugely beneficial to him as well.
Chris, where's your accent from? Wisconsin?
Western New York, which Western New York and the Midwest get a little bit like mixed together. Like a lot of people will think I'm from Minnesota or I'm from Wisconsin, but the Buffalo area and the Midwest for some reason sound pretty similar. Long vowels.
Yeah, I thought I recognized it, but I was a shade off, but I think you're right. It kind of blends together. Chris Trapasso, NFL draft analyst for CBS Sports. Chris, have you thought about Tre'Quan Smith, the Saints wide receiver, third round draft pick a few years ago? And there's been times where he's been impressive, and then there's other times where he disappears. Some of that is due to injury as well. Do you think he could be in line for a bit of a step-up year?
Well, going back to the draft, like you said, third-round pick out of UCF, and I was a huge fan of him. I actually had him graded as a second-round pick that year. You know, you talk about the explosiveness with Marcus Davenport. Tre'Quan Smith, look at his combine. I don't remember all the numbers off the top of my head, but I remember him being very explosive in the 40 and the vertical, and that showed up on film, too. That he was a downfield option in college, was kind of a rebounder, would go up and get it. You like to use him, maybe not on a variety of routes, but on a slant, on a dig where he can catch and then run with the football. So he's another one that didn't run a variety of routes, was somewhat coming from a smaller school level, not one of the Power Five conferences, that it shouldn't be shocking that a third-round pick's going to take a few seasons. And certainly the Saints would love to get better production out of their complementary wide receivers, obviously, beyond Michael Thomas. And I think the skill set is there. It'll just, to me, I'm wondering if Tre'Quan Smith being that downfield option, if he's the best fit with Drew Brees at this stage of his career. But I do trust Sean Payton to get the most out of his skill position players. And maybe it's using Tre'Quan Smith on more horizontal routes, on shallow crosses, on slants, to let him create separation there and just get the football in his hands because he's an explosive player.
Rewind, Chris, to 2016, second-round draft pick Mike Thomas. If you redrafted that 2016 class, where would Mike Thomas go now?
Man, he would definitely go, in the top five probably. And I remember, which I certainly fell victim to the Laquon Treadwell hype in that class and Josh Doctson. I did have Michael Thomas as my third wide receiver in that draft class. I was a big fan. I certainly didn't think that he was going to be a record-breaking wide receiver this early in his career like he's been, but he had just a completely well-rounded game at Ohio State. It was hard to really find a flaw with him. And again, I'm bringing up the combine a lot. I'm a big proponent of athleticism translating to the NFL. At his size, at 6'2", 6'3", 215, he had a really good combine. Three cone drill, the agility, the vertical. Didn't have to run 4.3 to show me that he's a high-level athlete for being that big. Fantastic hands, as we've seen during his career with the Saints. He would be one of the first picks if they redraft that 2016 class because he's just hit the ground running and has proven that even when all the attention is on him and he's getting safeties over the top and number one corners week to week, he's going to produce at a record-setting level.
149 receptions a year ago, 91 went for a first down.
Yeah, that's incredible. And that's kind of what he did at Ohio State. And I think that was somewhat of the knock on him and probably why he fell to the second round. Beyond not running super fast, that he kind of had this specialty as being a possession receiver. They really didn't use him a lot down the field, not a lot of big plays for him. But in this offense, and like I said, with Drew Brees methodically wanting to move the football down the field probably now more than ever, if you're getting that first down rate from your number one wide receiver, you're going to be a pretty good offense like the Saints have been, even as Drew Brees' arm strength has kind of deteriorated over the past couple of seasons. But getting off the line, beating press coverage, sharp route running, and strong hands to win in traffic, that's what you get with Michael Thomas, and that's why I think he's easily one of the top two or three wide receivers in the league.
Chris, how do you think Emmanuel Sanders fits into this offense?
he fits perfectly because he's a separation-based wide receiver. And again, Drew Brees is going to want to see wide receivers open within 5 to 10 or 15 yards down the field. And I think earlier in his career, certainly in Denver and even before that with the Steelers early on, Emmanuel Sanders could really stretch it vertically. Like, he was a speed option at SMU and for those early seasons in his pro career. But now his sharper route running, he can run intricate routes that where he needs to change directions, throttle down, explode the other direction in that short to intermediate range. So certainly all the attention is going to be on Michael Thomas. But Emmanuel Sanders, who really didn't lose a step over the last couple of seasons, came back very well from that Achilles injury. But I do think that he's maybe not as fast deep, that he can still take the lid off the defense, maybe occasionally, but he's still one of the best route runners in the league, even though he's over 30 years old, and he's going to feast on facing number two cornerbacks all season.
Chris Trapasso, NFL draft analyst here for CBS Sports. He was talking about he expects a big year from Marcus Davenport, and I agree with him. Chris, kind of shifting gears a little bit, a conversation we've had throughout the show today, would you trust Jameis Winston for 3 or 4 games in this Saints offense? And I said yes, and I would because of Sean Payton and because of the style of offense this is, and because Sean's an adept play caller that recognizes a player's strengths. And at Teddy Bridgewater, I think Jameis Winston's a better quarterback than Teddy Bridgewater. So if Teddy Bridgewater has success in this offense, I think Jameis Winston would as well. Do you agree?
I totally agree. And I think that is why after, yes, Jameis Winston threw 30 interceptions last year, but he also threw 33 touchdowns. He, in terms of yards per attempt, he's been one of the most efficient passers in the NFL, like since he's been in the league. High sevens, low eights, and in yards per attempt. Those are lofty numbers. I think that's the reason why he signed a one-year, $1 million contract after being the number one overall pick in 2015, because after playing with Bruce Arians, that was, you know, a coach that wanted Jameis Winston to take risks, and then I think halfway through the season said, I kind of wish we reined it in. Sean Payton's offense is very quarterback-friendly, and we saw last year the Saints went, 4-5-0 with Teddy Bridgewater. Just don't make a mistake. You have a good defense. Check it down to Alvin Kamara. Look for Michael Thomas, and also have Sanders in this offense as well. I think it's the perfect stylistic change for Jameis Winston to be in an offense where he doesn't feel like he needs to force the football into double coverage or make ridiculous plays. He's going to see receivers who can get open, and he can trust Emmanuel Sanders and Michael Thomas, get the screen game working. So if there is, you know, another Drew Brees injury, I think that, like you mentioned, I like Teddy Bridgewater, but I think Jameis Winston's more talented, and it's different from the offense that he was in Tampa, but I think it's exactly what he needs.
Yeah, I mean, he came from that Bruce Arians, no risk it, no biscuit kind of thing, and it's a much different approach here in New Orleans. Chris, you're outstanding, man. Anything I didn't ask you want to add, make sure you throw out there, and in particular, where folks can read your write-up on Marcus Davenport, your take on him.
Yeah, just CBSSports.com. I'm doing some write-ups on the big college football players who have decided to opt out and they're just going to enter the 2021 NFL draft. There's been about 4 or 5 potential first-rounders that have decided they're not going to play college football this season. So I did some scouting reports on them over the past few days. You can check all that out on CBSSports.com.
Chris, be safe, man. Enjoy your weekend. Thank you so much.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot. Anytime.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.